Today we have the privilege of studying the second chapter of Divrei Hayamim. In this chapter, Divrei Hayamim's emphasis on the connection between Adam and Yisrael becomes clear. For Divrei Hayamim makes it clear in this chapter why it jumps directly from Adam to Yisrael, skipping over such illustrious figures as Noach and Avraham, mentioning them only briefly. Divrei Hayamim's agenda in focusing on Yisrael, i.e. on Yaakov, and on his 12 children, is to emphasize the connection between Yaakov's 12 children and the land of Israel, and to portray that connection and one as one that exists from the very, very beginnings of time. In other words, when we read Chumash and Nevi'im Rishonim, when does the conquest of Eretz Yisrael, the possession of Eretz Yisrael, take place? It takes place in the time of Yehoshua. There is a single book at a single period in history where the Jews conquer Eretz Yisrael after having gone through the desert, after having received Torah, after the death of Moshe. Then the Jews conquer Eretz Yisrael. That's the narrative in Torah and in Nevi'im Rishonim. Divrei Hayamim takes a slightly different emphasis. The emphasis in Divrei Hayamim is on the idea that from the very beginnings of the existence of the Jewish people, from the very beginnings of Yisrael, the Jewish people have taken possession of Eretz Yisrael and have in some many cases fought to take possession of Eretz Yisrael. That possession of Eretz Yisrael is from the very beginnings of the Jewish people's existence, from the time of Yisrael, of Yaakov's birth, or from the time of Yaakov's children's birth, and that time, Yaakov's children's birth, is directly linked to the very beginnings of the world. How do we see it's linked to the very beginnings of the world? By the very fact of Divrei Hayamim Perak Aleph. Adam, leading directly to Yisrael, and now here in Perak Bet, what happens when Yisrael comes on the scene? Immediately, the children of Yisrael begin to take possession of the land. The taking possession of the land does not begin at the time of Yehoshua. It begins from the time of Yaakov's children. Now, some might be disturbed by this emphasis because one might argue it presents an alternate narrative to that in Torah. It is critical to recognize in studying Divrei Hayamim that the concept of narrative is not the same as the concept of event. An event is that which happens. A narrative is how it is talked about. In choosing to narrate an event, one necessarily chooses to emphasize certain portions of the event rather than other portions of the event. That is the case in any text that narrates an event. It chooses to emphasize certain portions and not other portions. Divrei Hayamim chooses in many cases to emphasize other portions of an event than those portions that are chosen for emphasis in Torah and in Nevi'im Rishonim. One cannot ask when studying Divrei Hayamim which is the correct version of the event, because the answer to such a question is the infuriating yes. There are two versions of the event. There are two narrations of an event, because every event can be narrated correctly and accurately in more than one way, with more than one emphasis. And when Torah and Nevi'im Rishonim give us one message, that message is true. And when Divrei Hayamim gives us a different message, that message is also true. The two messages are not seen as, must not be seen as contradictory, but as complementary. Divrei Hayamim's message that the possession of Eretz Yisrael is something that begins from the very the Jewish people's possession of Eretz Yisrael, something that begins from the very beginning of time, is an idea that is explicated in Rabbinic Midrash, but Divrei Hayamim does not need Rabbinic Midrash in order to authorize or legitimate its point of view. It is also an important point of view which must be recognized, and which is particularly important to the Jews of Bayit Sheni, who are beginning the return and establishing themselves in Eretz Yisrael in the period that we call the 6th, the 5th centuries BCE, the very end of the 6th, really more importantly the 5th century BCE. That is the period, that is the Jews of that period that Divrei Hayamim is directed. the Gemara ascribes the authorship of Divrei Hayamim to Ezra, to Ezra, and it is in this period, it is the Jews of this period that Divrei Hayamim is directed. For it is the Jews of this period who are seeking to reestablish themselves in Eretz Israel. And were they to see the Jews' possession of Eretz Israel as a one-time event in history, that there was a kibush by Yehoshua, and that was supposed to be the kibush to end all kibush, and there was never going to be another kibush later, nor was there another kibush earlier, they would certainly become disheartened, because they would feel themselves living at a time which is not a kibush time, to use a bizarre phrase. They would feel themselves living at a time which is not the period when the land of Israel should be conquered. By emphasizing that the conquest of Eretz Israel begins from the very first beginnings of the Jewish people, and that the land of Israel, the author of Divrei Hayamim is emphasizing that all periods of time are periods when the land of Israel can be conquered by the Jewish people. There is no one period in time which is the only period when that can be done. And the Jews of Beit Sheni ought not to feel themselves disheartened in their efforts to take possession of the land. This is an important message for us today, and I will show how Divrei Hayamim Perek Bet illustrates this. It begins with Ela b'nei Yisrael, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Uzvulun, Dan, Yosef, Uvinyamin, Naphtali, Gad, Ve'asher. Now it has to begin its narration with a listing of the 12 tribes, because throughout the next several chapters it goes through the genealogies of each of those tribes, and it tries to emphasize that each tribe has a role in taking possession of Eretz Israel. That's a key point. Each tribe has a role in taking possession of Eretz Israel. It is not true that only Yehuda takes possession. It is not true that only certain tribes are active in the wars, as we see, for example, in Shirat Devorah, in relation to the wars of Devorah. All tribes are active in taking possession of Eretz Israel. It gives pride of place to Yehuda, and it begins its narration. This chapter deals only with Yehuda, but we will see that it also deals with the relationships between Yehuda and other tribes. The very first psukim deal with a story of Er and Tamar. It tells us how Er was born and how Er was bad and how God killed Er, and Tamar gave birth to Peretz and Zerach to Yehuda. It doesn't hide the unusual story of Breishit Perek Lamed Chet, the story of how Yehuda gave birth to Peretz and Zerach. It acknowledges that, and it goes on to speak about the descent from Peretz to the family of David. But it doesn't mention David solely. It speaks about David among his brothers. It speaks about David among his family. David is not the only one who is worthwhile in this story. All of Bnei Yehuda are worthwhile, and later on we'll see that all of Bnei Yisrael are worthwhile. So there's a recognition of David's genealogy, but not an emphasis on David's genealogy to exclude the others. We exclude all the people in the world except for Yisrael. We mention them briefly and we focus on Yisrael, but when we get to Yisrael, we talk about all 12 tribes. When we get to Yehuda, we talk about all the descendants of Yehuda. Then, let's look at the interesting story in Pasuk Kaf Aleph. V'achar b'chetzron el bat machir avi gilad, v'hu lekachah, v'hu ben shishim shana v'teled lo et seguv. This Pasuk emphasizes the connection between Chetzron, the grandson of Yehuda, and the tribes of the Ever HaYarden, the tribes of the other side of the Jordan, especially the tribe, the half-tribe of Menasheh, from whom Machir is descended. Machir is the father of Gilad. Gilad is credited with, or Machir and or Gilad are credited with taking possession of the land on the other side of the Jordan. But there's a family connection between Machir and Gilad and the tribe of Yehuda. Chetzron marries or takes a wife from the tribe of Machir and Gilad. So here we have an intermarriage between Yehuda and Menasheh. And these types of relationships are important to Baal Divrei Hayamim to show that no tribe exists in isolation. All tribes are related to each other. And they all together take possession of the land. The second point which needs to be emphasized and needs to be highlighted is that the possession of the land is the original possession of the of Bnei Yisrael. In Pasuk Kaf Gimel, Vaykach Geshur Va'aram et Chavot Ya'ir Me'itam et Knat Ved Benoteha Shishim Ir Kol Ele Bnei Machir Avi Gilad. Well, we read in Torah how Chavot Ya'ir, the lands on the other side of the Jordan that are called Chavot Ya'ir, were taken by the descendants of Machir and Gilad in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Here the Torah tells us, well, originally those lands were settled by the people of Machir and Gilad, were settled by the family of Menasheh before the descent into Egypt, and then they were taken by the people of Geshur and Aram, the non-Jewish Arameans, and then they were non-Israelite Arameans, and then they were taken back by the people of Machir and Gilad in the time of Moshe. Now the important point here is that Divrei Hayamim nowhere mentions Yitziat Mitzrayim, because Divrei Hayamim is not a book that focuses on Yitziat Mitzrayim. It focuses on the idea of possession of the land. We'll speak more about the de-emphasis of Yitziat Mitzrayim elsewhere. One more key point, and I consider this to be a very key point. In the genealogy of Yehuda, Divrei Hayamim mentions not only individuals, but also cities. If we look at Pasuk Kaf Dalet, V'achar mot chetzron mechalev Efrata ve'eshet chetzron aviya, v'teled lo et ashchor avi Tekoa. We are told about the genealogy of the city of Tekoa here. Now why is that important? Because the city of Tekoa is one of the cities of Eretz Israel which was settled at the time of the return from Babel to Eretz Israel. It was settled at the time of Ezra. It was settled partly, at least, by people who were never exiled from Eretz Israel. And there were also an element of people in Tekoa who were composed of those who returned under Ezra. But what Baal Divrei Hayamim is trying to teach us is that those who lived in Tekoa, those who lived in Tekoa before the exile, those who lived in Tekoa from time immemorial, from the time when the Jewish people first take possession of Eretz Israel, which is from time immemorial, according to Baal Divrei Hayamim, the people who live in Tekoa are descended from Chetzron. They're descended from one of the grandchildren of Yehuda. And if you look towards the end of the chapter, you will find similar messages. Excuse me. It speaks about in Pasuk Membet, Uvnei Chalev, Achi Yerachmeel, Mesha Bechoro, Hu Avi Zif, Uvnei Maresha, Avi Chevron. It speaks about those who inhabited the city of Zif. It speaks about those who inhabited the city of Maresha. Those who inhabited the city of Chevron. A few Pesukim later, Uven Shamai Ma'on, Uma'on Avi Beit Zur. It speaks about those who inhabited the city of Beit Zur. Those cities, Maresha, Chevron, but even more, Beit Zur, were cities, and Zif, were cities that were inhabited at the time of the return to Eretz Israel. And they were cities that still resonated in the memories of those who were returned to Eretz Israel, as cities that had been inhabited before the exile. And so Baal Divrei Hayamim is trying to teach the Jews, if you wonder where your descent comes from, if you wonder what your genealogy is, know, you may not have a yichus that goes back to Yehuda, but know that if you're an inhabitant of the city of Zif, or you're an inhabitant of the city of Beit Zur, cities which exist in the tribe of Yehuda, be aware that you are descended from this particular branch of Yehuda. Here is your yachas. If you lived in the city, here is your yachas. In a sense, Baal Divrei Hayamim is trying to convince the Jews, don't see your genealogy as that related to where you were in Babel during the period of exile. See your genealogy as related to where you lived in Eretz Israel, where your family lived in Eretz Israel. If you're from Beit Zur, this is your genealogy. If you're from Zif, this is your genealogy. And it goes on at the end of the chapter, saying, giving the genealogy of Kiryat Yarim, and saying that Kiryat in Pasuk Nunbet, Vayuv Vanim Leshoval Avi Kiryat Yarim, Haroe Chatzi HaMenuchot. It relates Avi Kiryat Yarim to Chatzi HaMenuchot. Menuchot, of course, is related to Manachat. And if you know where Manachat is a very, very old city in Eretz Israel, which is today known as Malcha. Of course, today it's in the municipal boundaries of Yerushalayim, but historically it is a separate city outside Yerushalayim, and the point is that the people of who are exiled from Manachat are descendants of people who came from Kiryat Yearim, and they go back in this manner to Kalev, and through Kalev back to the tribe of Yehuda. And the next pasuk, Umishpechot Kiryat Yearim, Hayitriva Puti Vashumati, Vahamishrai, Me'ele Yatzu Hatzori, Vahaesh Ta'oli, emphasizing that both Tzara'ah and Eshta'ol, cities in the tribe of Yehuda, located today and always located between Yerushalayim and Beit Shemesh, those cities of Tzara'ah and Eshta'ol, are descended from Kiryat Yearim, and Kiryat Yearim, of course, is located where Kiryat Yearim, the name has been reclaimed today by the Tells group. Kiryat Yearim is there, and the emphasis here is that all these people who are exiled from these cities, who are resident in these cities, and who are not exiled, are descended from from branches of the tribe of Yehuda. Here is your Sefer HaYachas, the Baal Divrei Hayamim is saying to them, look, know from whom you are descended. In a sense, Baal Divrei Hayamim, who lived in our period, would say, don't see yourselves as people from Meltz. Don't see yourselves as people from Kishinev. Don't see yourselves as people from Vilna. Don't see yourselves as people from Kroke. Don't see yourselves as people from Hamburg or from Tzana or from Damar. Rather, see yourselves as people who are descended from the 12 tribes, whose yachas is directly connected to the particular land in Eretz Israel which your ancestors inhabited. Sadly, those of us who survive the second Galut don't necessarily have a memory of where in Eretz Israel our ancestors inhabited, but where in Eretz Israel our ancestors lived. But those who survived Galut Rishonah, the first exile, Galut Bavel, seem to have had that memory, and Divrei Hayamim is urging them to recover that memory and to connect directly to the land where their ancestors lived.